Bless your hearts, please be seated. Wow. Well, I trust you see we have a theme this morning. Thank you all for listening to those songs. Confidence, fear is a liar. Because we need faith like we're in the lion's den, don't we? I mean, fear. If you think about it, fear is the biggest giant that so many people face these days. And it's nonstop, and it's only getting worse. You know, fear is one of the main tactics that the world loves to use against those who stand with the Heavenly Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think last Sunday, Bob mentioned something about how the values and ethics that we've held dear to our hearts for so many, many years, down the tubes. And they're being replaced by fear. A common theme these days is that Christianity itself has kind of a bad rap to it. Oh, Christians condemn, they judge people, they do this, they do that. And that's what the world loves to do, because unfortunately we're in the devil's playground. There's a God of this world, and he loves to use so many things relating to fear. And we're actually going to look at different types of fear this morning so we can better be prepared, not that we already are because we have all that we need. We're going to look at some different types of fear this morning. So I've entitled my sharing this morning after that song, Fear is a Liar. Because that's exactly what fear is. So to start off, I want to open up with that wonderful quote by Allison Smith from a few years ago. I've read it before, but it's just so fitting. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, the devil cannot just walk right up to you and rob you of your health, your peace, or your family. He cannot just come into your life and force disease and destruction. If the devil can do that, then he does not have to walk about seeking whom he may devour. He would simply just walk up to anyone he wants to devour and then devours them. But since the Bible says that he goes about seeking whom he may devour, the truth is there are people whom he cannot devour. The devil goes about like a roaring lion trying to stir up fear in people with his roars. But the people who are not devourable are those who refuse to be intimidated by his roars. They resist the devil. They are steadfast in the faith. They know that Christ lives in them, and he is greater than the devil who is in the world. Once the devil knows that you believe your rights, your privileges, your authority, and your power in Christ, his days of intimidating are over. You are numbered among the undevourable. It's a wonderful sharing from something Allison has called Flames of Truth. It's really something, guys. Fear is basically a feeling of inadequacy. It's a feeling of not being able to control something about an uncomfortable situation. And the truth is we all deal with it one way or another. Maybe you're dealing with certain types of fear right now without even knowing it. So I've listed some common fears that every single person has dealt with. And it doesn't matter who you are. And I don't mean like silly little being afraid of spiders or being afraid of heights. These are deep, dark, shaken to your core fears that many people deal with on a daily basis. All right, here they are. Number one, fear of not being good enough. Who's ever been there? Every hand should be going up. Perhaps this is the most common form of fear. It comes in the form of doubt. Fear of failure or not succeeding. Also, this comes in the form of doubt as well. What about fear of being criticized or fear of what others may think about you constantly, because we want to present ourselves in the five senses in a certain manner to be accepted by society. Good thing God doesn't care about any of that. Fear of lack. Fear of lacking money. Fear of lacking, you know, the proper amount of friends. Fear of lacking time, energy, the list goes on and on. What about fear of being rejected? Fear of being alone? Sometimes people may feel afraid to share their hearts to other people in fear of being judged or not being accepted. What about fear of confrontation? We may be afraid to confront somebody that's hurt us. We may be afraid of confronting our own issues. Fear of letting go. What about fear of letting God be God? Hey, it's a spiritual battle, and I can't say that I have it all mastered. I don't think any one of us does. But letting God be God is one of the most important things we can do for our own peace. And you know what people do? Well, they say, I'm going to fix myself. I'm going to do it all by myself. I'm going to learn this Bible, and I'm going to fix all of my problems all on my own, and then I'm going to attempt to fix other people's problems while I'm at it. But you know what? The reality of this is that I'm afraid of not having my needs met. The dictionary definition of fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. So back to this this quote with Allison. When a lion roars, what does he do? He gets into the right place at the right time, and he roars. What does that do? It paralyzes the prey. And that's what the devil's roars are trying to do to us. He's attempting to get us paralyzed so that the thief can come in to steal and to kill and to destroy, according to John 10, verse 10, right? But Jesus said, I am come that they might have life more abundantly, more abundantly. You know, the phrase, be not afraid or fear not, appears well over 100 times in the scriptures. I think somebody once said it appears about 365 times. So there's a verse for every day. But be not afraid or fear not are constantly written in the scriptures. But for Old Testament believers and even those who believe today, fear remains the biggest giant for so many people's lives. And it stops them in their tracks. And it intimidates them. And many times, fear arises because something requires change. There's another one, fear of change, because change is uncomfortable. It requires you to get out of your comfort zone. Go from one place that you're comfortable with to another. But if God was the one telling you to do so, would you resist his desire for you to really grow and to evolve into all that God desires for you to be? You know, we say we want that time and time again, but when rubber meets the road, will we actually take action upon even what the scriptures tell us, let alone the revelation that God gives to us individually? Fear is the believer's greatest enemy. Fear has ruined more individual lives, more families, more Christian ministries than any other thing. And, you know, people would say at times that before the Spirit of God came on the day of Pentecost, these men were full of fear. You know, they were hiding behind closed doors in fear of the Jews. But one thing changed these guys. They received the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost, and they spoke in tongues. And then they began to speak very boldly to those that they were once afraid of. But fear didn't go away on Pentecost. You know, there are records in the church epistles, even in the book of Acts, where believers were afraid. You know, when Paul went out and got converted, he came out wanting to hang out with the believers, but they were afraid. Paul had one hell of a reputation, didn't he? You know, he was once somebody who would go out into home fellowships like Al's, like Bob's. He would take believers from those places and make sure they went to jail. Really something. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4. First John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." You know, in 1 Corinthians 4, it says that the devil is the god of this world. And people wonder why there's all these things that are constantly happening. And going back to what Bob mentioned last week, our most valued morals and ethics are going right down the drain. And they're being replaced by fear. We're at a day and age where if you don't bow down and go along with the ideologies of this world, you're going to be fired from your job, you're going to be threatened, you're going to be bullied. But guess what? None of those things are based in what's actually real. They're all based in made-up ideologies by society. What about Matthew 14? Let's go there. In Matthew 14, verse 26, let's just start in verse 25. "In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went into them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'Is it a spirit?' And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid.'" John 14. You see, there's a natural tendency to be afraid. We've got it presented to us. It is in every aspect of life, whether we like it or not. And it's just one of those giants that is embedded in the five senses. John 14, 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." See, Jesus knew the significance of fear, knew how fear worked, because he was tempted in all the ways that we were, and I'm sure the adversary tried to stir up fear in him as well. But he knew the significance of fear. There's a word out there that even people, when people just hear it, they, the word is cancer. People hear that word and they're, God is much bigger than all that stuff. So the question that presents itself is, how do we deal with fear? How do you stand up against the liar known as fear? Here's the answer. The Word, and nothing but the Word. Absolutely. 2 Timothy 1:7, it's on the screen here. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind." When somebody walks in fear, can they walk in power? No, they cannot. Because you're afraid to fully live out the fullest potential of being able to utilize the Spirit of God within you. When you're walking in fear, can you walk in love? No, you cannot. When you walk in fear, do you have a sound mind? Absolutely not. Those are all polar opposites. You know, fear is not a part of the Holy Spirit package when you got born again of God's Spirit. But yet the devil has used this so effectively. It's one of his greatest tools. And besides the fact that he's a liar, you know, he's used fear along with many other tactics such as discouragement, worry, doubt, loneliness, and all these other things to get to the believers. But how do we resist that? Well, this verse on the screen here says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. So do we really need to read beyond that? You know, we really have not been called to be fearful. Do you know what fear does? It destroys our perspective. It makes something so small seem like a giant. It takes control over everything. And it takes over your brain. Those little brain cells, it takes over those things. And it distracts you from what you should be really focusing on. 1 John chapter 4. First John 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. I'll say it again. There is no fear in love. The two are not even comparable. They're just two completely opposite sides of the spectrum. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Here's the thing. Fear is a liar. He gets into people's heads, gets into your head, tries to get you to think anything other than what the Word of God says about who you are. But there is hope after all. The Word, and nothing but the Word. And when that attempt by the adversary comes to rob you of your peace and your health and your this and your that, how about you just put your foot down and say, you know what, devil? Out of here. Because in the name of Jesus Christ, I have peace. I have every other promise that the Word of God says I have. What will it take us to propel a power that we actually possess? That's the whole beauty of fear itself. It's not based in reality most of the time. Especially all these tactics that the adversary throws at us, none of them are based in anything that's actually true. Because the opposite of fear is truth. And that's why we call fear a liar. So, you back him down with the Word of God. And there are great truths to help us do that, such as, I have what the Word of God says I have. I can do what the Word of God says I can do. I will be what the Word of God says I will be. You know, things like that. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. These are not lies like fear is. And I'm not here to say that I've memorized the entire Word of God. But one of the greatest things that we can do to combat these things, because it is a spiritual battle in the end, Scripture retemory, retemorizing Scripture, at least important ones. Not say that they're not all important, but those big ones that remind you who you are in Christ. Perfect love casts out fear, all those things, just memorize it. Many people get beaten down these days with fear because they're lazy. You know, they don't discipline themselves to instill the Scriptures that they need into their hearts and minds. And the only way to lock Scriptures into your heart is to lock them in up here first. Psalm 119:11 says what? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not what? Sin against thee. You know, the word has to become the dominant source of power in this battle that we're in. There's no other way. The word, and nothing but the word. And you can go to Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12 says that, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And that's what we're up against here, guys. Fear is part of the spiritual battle. It's the biggest giant. I just kind of get this picture in my head. When David went into battle with Goliath, you know, he was probably a little, maybe just a little nervous. He knew that God was with him. He knew that he would be victorious in the end. But the five senses, it's easy. I just think of Goliath being fear, and then the rest of his soldiers behind him being everything else. So let's wrap this thing up here this morning. You know, fear has no place in the born-again believer's walk. Because fear is a liar. And most of the time, people are afraid of things that never happen. Let's face it. You know, truth be told, we all deal with fear. We all deal with it. But it's our response that's important. Our response to dealing with the giant of fear. There are so many other giants that we could be talking about this morning, but I see it all the time, firsthand, especially in the places that I work. Fear is everywhere. But, it's like the scripture says, be not afraid, fear not. It's all that God wants us to do is just trust Him. Trust Him. All right? So, I know we haven't went to too many scriptures this morning, but I trust what God wanted to get across is clear. 2 Timothy 1:7, last time, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Amen?
Amen.
Gracious Heavenly Father, what an incredible Father You are to us. Because we know that fear is not part of that Holy Spirit package that You've given to each one of us. We could spend hours praising You, Father. We can spend all eternity just thanking You, and it still wouldn't be enough. So we pray for boldness, confidence, like we are in the lion's den, because unfortunately that's what this world now requires of us. But we're up for the challenge because Your Son, Jesus Christ, is in each and every one of us. And because of that, Father, there's nothing we need to fear. The only kind of fear we will have is honor and reverence for You. So I pray for each heart here that they're just energized and comforted and built up by this wonderful word of God of Yours, Father. I pray for these things in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.